Morning, we're going to have a very special service here. It's a Life is Beautiful service, and again, we'll have a very special testimony and some special speaking. There'll still be a sermon, we're going to just have a wonderful time emphasizing that all life is precious, and so we hope that you'll be here and that you'll bring somebody with you. I want to talk to somebody who is going through the difficult or most difficult place in their life. I'm going to talk to someone who is struggling, somebody who is trying to keep up hope, somebody who's trying to keep their spirits up, but you don't seem to be succeeding on most days. And I've got a word from the Lord for you from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's a powerful passage, and in my thinking, about every word in these three short verses is pregnant with meaning. But it begins in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, with this wonderful statement. The Bible says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Maybe that's what you need to hear today. He says, believers, we do not lose heart. When you think about quitting, when you think about giving up, when you think about surrender, when you think about dropping out, don't lose heart. When you feel weary, when you feel weak, when life is a struggle, when people have rejected you, when troubles come in like a flood, when there's great difficulties and you don't have the answers for what you're facing, the Bible says, we do not lose heart. And then the Bible tells us why. It says, because even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Again, the Bible says, don't you lose heart when you're going through difficult times. Rather, fix your focus on the internal things. Don't look at the external. Focus on the internal. Focus on the supernal, which is a Willard Wilcox word. Focus on the glorious things. Don't focus on the affliction. Focus on the glory that is being worked out, the Bible says. So look at the internal. Look at the supernal, the glory of it all. And don't look at the temporary, but look at the eternal. So again, here he's saying, don't lose heart. You might lose heart if you look at the wrong thing. You might give up if you're not focused in the right area, but focus in the right area, the internal working of God. Focus in the right area, the glory that is to come and that is now being worked out in your heart. Focus on the right thing, the eternal things that are to come. And if you do that, you won't lose heart. So first of all, he says, don't focus on the external, but focus on the internal working of God in your life. Again, if you focus on the external, you'll grow weary. You'll grow tired. You'll think about giving up. Don't focus on that out there. Focus on what God's doing internally. Now, when you look at the world today, you know, even the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, that the whole creation is frail. The whole creation is suffering fatigue. The whole creation is suffering the effects of age. And everywhere you look around, if you look on the outside, if you look on what your eyes can see, it's all falling apart. It's all breaking. It's all wearing out. Remember, and I think I've shared this, Ross Perot back when he was alive. He was interviewed once. He ran for president many years ago. And he was a Texan and he talked fast. And he said, you ain't ever seen a guy who's rich happy before 10 a.m. And the reason you ain't never seen a rich man happy before 10 a.m. is because he lives in a great big old mansion out there in the country, and every morning he wakes up, something's broke. And that's why he's not happy before 10 a.m. in the morning. And that's true. I'm not a rich guy living out in the country, but it seems like everywhere I look in my house, something's broke. I walk around, and I'm looking, and I see a new crack in the wall. And I see they're always over the doors and windows. There's something wrong with that drywall right there. I think I see the tape bleeding through. And then I walk around. About every time I come home, it seems like there's a new handprint on the wall. A little handprint on the stairs, down the hallway. And I thank the Lord of all the things I've gone cheap on in my life. I didn't go cheap on the paint. I can still wipe it. I can still clean it. Every now and then I go through and I see what looks like a splashing of chocolate milk on the wall. I got a washcloth and I clean it. I was standing there having a cup of coffee, looking out the kitchen window, watching it rain the other day. You know what I saw? I got gutter guards, but something's wrong with the gutter. The water's pouring out in the yard, and I said to myself, doggone it, I'm going to have to send Jenny up when it stops raining to clean out the gutter. Seems like everything is falling apart. Everywhere you look, it's falling apart. You look at your car, something's broke. There's a new scratch on it. Something's tore up. I'm driving down the road, and it's like, doggone it, that front tire's out of balance again, because I'm hopping when I get to about 65, but I'm going to live with it as long as I can, because again, I'm cheap. But it seems like everything is falling apart in life. I remember Annie Dillard, and I still chuckle because I think that she was probably an idealist, hyper-liberal in the 70s, and she got tired with the world as she saw it. And she said, I'm just going to go live out in the country. I'm going to go live in the forest by myself. I'm going to live in nature where everything is peaceful and where things get along with each other. And so she did that. She was 27. She went out, and then she recorded what happened when she lived out in that cabin in a book called The Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. But she was just appalled at what she saw. She was sitting there one day, and two praying mantises were, you know, making whoopee. And during all of that stuff, the female eats the head off the male. There he is. And then she was out at the pond, and she saw this bug land on a perfectly content frog and sting him, which paralyzed him, and then just sucked his brain out and left him there. A empty bag of frog skin laying there. And she watched all of the death that was surrounded by there in that cabin in this supposedly peaceful setting. And she said in that book, she said, evolution loves death more than it loves you or me. Evolution is all about death. It's all about survival of the fittest. And she very much believed in evolution. But she said, all around, all I see is death and dying. And that's what I think Paul is saying. All around externally, you look at it, you're going to get depressed. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get weary. And Paul says here, and I think he's even talking more about the physical. He said, but don't look at the outward that is perishing or wasting away. I don't know if he came to that when he got out of bed and felt his arthritis, or when he went and he looked in the mirror and he said, holy smokes, I used to be a good looking guy, but look at me now. I don't know what part of him caused him to say, outwardly it's perishing. But he said, if you look out there, if you look at yourself in the mirror, if you watch your hairline, if you look at the crow's feet, if you look at all the death and dying, if you look at what's going on in your house, if you look what's going on in the world, you are going to lose heart. But he says, but you better look inside. You better look internally, because internally you are being renewed day by day. Externally, it's wasting away. Internally, there is daily renewal for your spirit. A lot of people, when you say, you know, I got saved, I became a Christian. And maybe you quote for them 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, behold, all things have passed away, or all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You say, that's what happened to me. Old things passed away, and all things became new in Christ. They look at you and they say, that doesn't make any sense. You still got the same old dog. You got the same wife. You're driving the same car. You live in the same house. You still root for the same old Redskins. You're still crying over the same stuff. You still like the same food. Ain't nothing changed in your life. But they're not looking at the internal, because on the inside, everything's changed. You got a new father. You got a new future in Jesus Christ. You've been adopted into a new family. You have a new high priest and son and brother, Jesus Christ. You got a new peace in your heart. You got a new power in your spirit. For the first time, you can say no to Satan and you can make it stick. You might be perplexed on the outside, but you're not in despair on the inside. There's a new joy. There's a new walk. There's a new zest in your spirit. On the inside, everything's changed. And Paul says, you better look on the inside. You better think about what's going on the inside. And if you do that, you'll be renewed. But again, if you get focused on the outside, you're going to struggle not to lose heart in this world. And then he says, not only should you look internally instead of externally, he says, you need to look supernally. Supernally. You need to look at the glory instead of the affliction that you're going through. Listen to this. He says, for our light affliction. And I take it that means any affliction. Whatever we're going through, compared to the glory which is to come, is light. He says, for our light affliction is but for a moment, and it is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You look at the affliction, you look at the pain, you look at what they said about you, you focus on the rejection, you focus on being passed over in life, you focus on what your body is going through, you focus on what you've lost. You focus on those kinds of things, you'll grow weary. You'll lose heart. You'll fall into a depression. But he says, you and I need to focus on the fact that God is working. I like that word. He's working it to our glory. He's making it work to our ultimate victory in the end. I like this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I love that phrase, death is swallowed up in victory. Because what that means to me is that all the things I struggle with, the affliction, even my death, is swallowed up in victory. It makes the victory that much better. I mean, listen to me. The thing that swallows the other thing gets bigger because it swallowed that thing. Now think about it. Go home, weigh yourself before you eat. And eat your chicken, potatoes, green beans, get you just a big slice of chocolate cake, eat all that, and then go weigh yourself again. And you're going to find out that when you eat something, when you swallow it, it makes you bigger. And what Paul is saying is that death is going to get swallowed by victory, that even death is going to be overcome by victory and make the victory that much bigger, that much sweeter in life. See, listen, the things you and I are going through, the afflictions, the pain, the things that are leaving scars on us, the things that are really driving us sometimes to points of despair in our life temporarily, are things that only make the ultimate victory that much sweeter. There'll be scars that we might even want to wear in heaven. I think Jesus, you know, in his resurrected body, he still had the nail prints in his hands. And I don't know if God the Father looked at the Son and said, hey, you want me to take care of the nail prints, or do you want to wear those for eternity? And the Son said, I think I'll wear those for eternity, because I didn't want to go to the cross there in the Garden of Gethsemane. I said, if there be any other way, but you know, since I've been through it, since I faced Satan, since I overcame by the blood that was shed, since I've been resurrected, I think I just want to maybe wear those scars through eternity to remind me of the victory that I won at Calvary. And you and I, if God looks at us and says, hey, you want to wear some scars? You want to remember some stuff that you've been through? Or do you want me just to wipe that out of your memory? Do you want me just to clean that up? You're going to say, I want to remember it. I want to wear it, because it makes the victory so much sweeter because of all that I've been through. It's been swallowed up in this victory. Every fight that I've been through, everything I lost, everything I gave up, every rejection I faced, every bad doctor's report I got, every trial that I've been through, now that I'm standing here in heaven, I've been victorious. I've conquered it all. I'm singing the song of the overcomer. And doggone it, I just want to remember it all, because it makes it that much bigger. Hallelujah. You think how God is working this out. He's working it. Glory is being worked out in your life. Now you just get focused on the stuff that's happening to you. You'll fall into despair. But if you focus on how the glory is being worked out, listen to me. Paul's saying you have hope, you have a future, you have peace in the midst of your trial. And then he says this. He says, just don't focus on the internal. You need to focus on what God is doing in your life, to focus on how he's working glory out in your life. But he says you also need to focus on the eternal. He said, because these temporary things are passing away. Verse 18. He says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we need to look at what is eternal so that we do not lose hope. One of the great strategies of Satan in my life and in your life is to get us focused on the temporary stuff, because that's where our peace and joy is robbed. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, the Bible says, all that is of the world, all that is under the control of Satan, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, he says, all these things are passing away. And that's true. But Satan wants us to focus on the very temporary things, the lust of the flesh. We're talking about satisfying the flesh, the lust of the eyes, beauty, materialism, the pride of life, importance, recognition, achievements in life. What Satan would want to do is to get us so focused on these things. He wants us to say, you know what? Life is short. Life is fleeting. If I don't do it now, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm running out of time. Look how old I'm getting. I just don't have many years left. And as he gets that in our mind, we become very focused with the eating and the drinking and the sexing it up and the maintaining our beauty or what used to be beauty or what's fleeting in our beauty and materialism and recognition and accumulating trophies. And what happens is we get so distracted. And you want to talk about the things that are robbing our peace and bringing despair? That's the stuff that's robbing our stuff, our peace, because we're grasping for something and we're losing it. And we're not able to hold on to it because it's all temporary. It's passing away. What God is doing is he keeps trying to tell us, I came to bring you eternal life. I want you to have eternal life. I want you to think about the things that aren't passing away. I don't want you to get tied up in the beauty. Age gracefully. I don't want you to get tied up in materialism because all that stuff's going to break anyway. Don't get tied up in that stuff. You're going to have a new body someday. You're going to be taken care of in eternity. I got a place prepared for you in eternity. Listen, don't get tied up in the trophies. Listen, all your trophies are going in the trash someday. None of that's going to heaven with you. Don't get tied up in the recognition. All those achievements in life, all those certificates you've won, they ain't going to be in heaven. Don't get so fed up if you finish second or third. Don't get so fed up if you don't finish first in life. Don't be one of those people who needs a participation trophy. Doesn't matter that much anyway in the end. I want you to focus on what's eternal. And what is eternal? Your salvation's eternal. Focus on that. If you keep it, if you won't leave Jesus, he won't leave you. Focus on that. Focus on heaven. That's eternal. Focus on what you do for the Lord, because what you and I do for the Lord is not done in vain, the Bible says. There's eternal rewards for that. Focus on that. Your family that has died in the Lord, they're eternal. They're over there. The church is eternal. It's going there. God is eternal. It's interesting that the Bible says in Hebrews 11:27 that Moses was able to sustain himself because he looked on him who was invisible. That was God. And you and I, again, need to focus. If we don't want to lose heart in this life, we've got to focus on the things that are lasting, not the things that are passing away. Listen to me. Our desire will always outrun our assets. If you start focusing on all the things of the world and you let your eyes get big, your desire will always outrun what you have. You'll start out and you may not have a big house and you'll get a nice house, but if you're into it, if you're into materialism, it'll never be big enough for you. Your car will never be nice enough for you. If you get into appearance, you'll never look good enough for yourself. You'll never have enough. You'll never vacation enough. Listen, if you give yourself to the temporary, it will wear you out and leave you empty. But you need to focus on salvation and heaven and what's to come. The work of the Lord, the church, the God who saved you. Those things aren't passing away. And Paul is saying here, he said, now listen, if you don't want to lose heart, if you're weary, wore out, stressed, thinking about quitting, thinking about dropping out, Paul is saying part of your problem, maybe all of your problem, is you're not looking at the right stuff. Quit looking at what's out here. Quit watching the news like you watch the news. Look at what God is doing inside your heart, inside your life. Quit thinking about your afflictions. Quit thinking about all the pain and the suffering. Quit dwelling on what they did to you. Start thinking about what God has prepared for you. Amen. Quit looking at all the temporary stuff. Quit grasping for sand in life. Because you've got some eternal things, and you and I need to focus on those eternal things. I wonder if I'm talking to someone here today. I wonder if I'm talking to someone. What you focus on in life is vital, more than vital. I just can't find the right word. It's more than vital for your happiness. Remember the cat who got an all-expense-paid vacation to England one time? And he went to England where there's beautiful things to see, and he ended up in London. And then he came home and started to show his slides to the other cats. And they asked him about all the wonderful things he saw. They said, "Did you see the London Bridge?" He didn't see no London Bridge. "When you went to Buckingham Palace, did you see the jewels?" He didn't see no jewels. Remember it? "Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been?" "I've been to London to see the Queen." "Pussycat, pussycat, what saw you there?" "I saw a wee mouse under her chair." And all the beauty and all that God has prepared for us, amen, and all that God has done in our hearts and all the glory that is to come, you and I can be little mouse watchers in the middle of a palace, in the middle of glory, there in the presence of the Queen. All he saw was a mouse. Here we are in the presence of the King of Kings. We're his children. We're his heirs. We're bound for glory. And all sometimes we see is the afflictions and the suffering and the lines on our face and the way that our body is changing and the cracks in our ceiling and all of this thing, and we're missing out on what God has for us. Don't you miss out. Stand with me, will you?